Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. So good to see you, and a beautiful Lord's Day it is this morning as we got up and come. Let's see. No, we got, well, Virginia isn't here. Virginia's still sick. Huh? Okay, we'll put that off another week. We got a thing for Kim and one for Norma Jean, and if you girls don't mind, I'll lay those aside, and we'll try to get you three together here. Hopefully next week you will, but everybody will be here. And we're glad that you're here this morning, and we just welcome you. And hope you had a great week, a beautiful week all week long, and this morning is no different. I was telling them in our Bible class here this morning or something that, boy, I mean, to wake up this morning and look out and the sun's shining and all the trees all leafed out and everything, what a beautiful time it certainly is. I want to share with you, as usual, from the book of Psalms, and Psalms 8. And this is a psalm that God's glory and man's honor. And David here says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, and thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the stranger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Though thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellently is thy name in all the earth. Let's praise thee.
Hymn of worship, we're going to use number 59, sing the first and third verse, and Doodlebug will have a prayer. Just all stand.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, sing all.
Amen.
Now for communion hymn, you're number 146, first and fourth verse.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me. stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him my own. Sin has left a crimson stain.
Gather around the Lord's table this morning and reading from Mark chapter 14. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God."
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity you granted us together in your house on the Lord's Day. We come around the table now and thank you for the loaf and the cup. It represents the broken and bruised body of the one that died on Calvary's cross. Through him we'd have life and have it more abundantly. Now go with us for the further exercise of our service. Be the twins and one to take of this hymn of this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for all the gifts you give us, as we bring a portion of these gifts back through our tithes and offerings. We ask that you multiply them upon your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
No announcements to share with you this morning, other than, well, I do have also Kathleen Gaines. Yeah, we got Michael. He's got a birthday coming up here. Man, he don't look older to me. Kathleen Gaines is the 10th, and that's today. Too bad she's not here. We could sing to her. Let's just send her a message, a song anyhow. You know, ever do that? Holy Spirit, let these people sing to Kathleen this morning. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Catherine. Happy birthday to you. Amen. That's nice. Thank you, Phillips, for doing that. And Mike, we wish you a happy birthday. Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock. Looking at our prayer list, we have some growth, some added names here. And our prayer list is a kind of sometimes grows and sometimes goes down. And but this tells me that we have concerned people here that are concerned about others around them. And it's not that we want a big prayer list. We want to pray them down as small as we can. But it does show your concern for people as we add them to the prayer list. And certainly we know that prayer does work. Prayer does help. And we thank you for that. Who's any new ones? Brittany Thurman here. She's a new one that's on here. And some of you Popa folks know what to pray for there. And Jerry's brother. Let's see, who else is new there? Okay, and I have a note here from Leo DiLippo. Is that Limples? And he's had a hip and femoral replacement surgery this week. He came through. And surgery good, and he still has 6 to 8 weeks to recover and not being able to do any weight bearing and so forth. And like when an adult has surgery, they have get them up in the day of surgery. He and his family need all the prayers, and so continue to pray for them and pray for each and every one that is on our prayer list. And share with us, if you will. I keep asking you to do that. Share with us and what's taking place in some of the people's lives. We have several. There's Heaven, geez. We keep her in our prayers, and we're glad that you folks are here today, and we're glad that Joanne, she's able to be back today. She was sick. Boy, and they said you were sick, and I said, no, it wasn't from that good meal we had Friday night. I know that. And that'll strengthen anybody up on it. And then here's Pauline over here. She wasn't with us last week. We're glad that you're able to be here. And God bless you. Hope that you can just continue to be here and so forth. And hi.
I have a praise report on Sophia, our great niece. She got to come home Wednesday. But she is still on oxygen and everything. If you remember, she was born at 24 weeks. And she's on oxygen and good. But now, mom's really struggling with trying to take care of all the medicines and watch the oxygen and all that. So she's with what we're finding.
Thank you. And of course, for our nation and all of our people that are not able to be out and like you folks are, isn't it wonderful that God has blessed us? We're able to be come and go and enjoy the wonderful things God has for us and so forth. And so we are so grateful for that. And again, each one on our prayer list being earnest prayer for them and our nation, especially the condition we're in. I had my echogram Thursday. And tomorrow at 12:45, I have an appointment with the doctor that's reading that and so forth. And so looking for some good things out of that. So pray with me, if you will. As we come to our prayer time, we have so much to be thankful for. God is so good. And isn't it wonderful that we can look around and see the hand of God at work and see his faithfulness. And
Bergen, Kathleen's husband.
Oh, he is. Oh, I just thought he was off to a sale. Nobody said. All right. Okay, if you don't, try to share those with us before we get started. Do what?
Keith needs some prayer, too.
Yeah, Keith, you know, it's not funny. I thought about you, Keith. But listen, you're going to have to get used to high altitude. I mean, one day you're going to be way up there, buddy. Yeah.
You'll have a new body then. Yeah, you'll have
a
new body.
Amen. Right. Okay. Yes, okay. I'm sorry. Well, thank you for reminding me of those. Yeah. And, I just thought Bergen was off on one of his trips. So keep all those people in your prayers, and God does great things to people who's concerned as we come to our prayer time this morning. Peace.
Four prayer hymn this morning is in 109, singing the first and fourth verse. Benny will have her prayer. Stand.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Standing
on the promises of God, my Savior.
God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful that we have a God who has an ear tuned to us this morning and listening to our prayers. You've promised, Heavenly Father, if we call upon you, if we bring our petitions to you, that you will hear us and you will help us and you will answer our prayers. And you do it in such a wonderful way, and we thank you for that, dear God. And Heavenly Father, as we read from the psalmist, and as we look at the heavens and all the things that you've created, and how great you must be, Almighty God. We're just seeing a portion but how all your greatness just shows so brilliantly, especially today as we look out on your creation. Thank you. It demonstrates your power. And you told us that you would use that in our lives, and we thank you for it. We're so thankful, dear God, that you have blessed the prayers of our people, that you have listened to them, and you have ministered to people who they're concerned about, and we are thankful for the reports of those that are doing well. But then, Heavenly Father, we still have many on our prayer list that we're concerned about, and like Vi and Dell and different ones like that, or they're shut in, they can't get out, they can't be about like they'd like to be. We just pray, Heavenly Father, for your healing power in their lives. But we pray, Heavenly Father, for comfort for them as they go through their day. And Heavenly Father, that you'll keep them safe. We pray for those like Miss Gaines, and Heavenly Father, that is getting up in years and not able to be about. We pray, Heavenly Father, and we pray a good day upon her, dear God, that she will realize that there's people thinking about her and people that are concerned about her, Heavenly Father, and just wishing her well. And then, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this congregation that we have here this morning. Each and every person that's standing here this morning has come because they honor you, because they love you, and because they have accepted Jesus as their Savior and look to him for guidance, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that works through our church family, Heavenly Father. We're just so thankful to have a good church family here at Porter. And we know, Heavenly Father, that they're an asset to this community. And we know, Heavenly Father, that they are being used by you. And we thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. We know that our nation is not in the best of shape. So we pray, Heavenly Father, for the leaders. We pray for President Trump, Heavenly Father, that he might look to you, and Heavenly Father, they might use some wisdom of the good things, and that he would guide and look to you for guidance, Heavenly Father. The Vice President and all the other officials, Heavenly Father, might they consider the fact that you have the answers to all of our woes, and you will direct them if they will look to you. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray, whoever it is and whatever position they're in, that they might seek wisdom to rule the people here in America in a good way, that we'll have good relationships with the foreign nations, that we will have peace in our world, that we won't have to have men and women losing their lives, boys and girls losing their lives in war. Help us to have peace. But help us all, Heavenly Father, to experience the peace of our lives and our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just now thank you for your goodness. We pray your blessing upon this church, upon this country, upon this world. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
The invitation hymn would be number 312.
So sometimes, more often than not with me, when the good Lord tells me to do something, I don't understand why. But it's not our job to understand. It's just our job to obey. So. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you, Michael. Cool. Michael. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, we're back to the book of Daniel. I'm going to wear you out in chapter 6. You either hate me for it or you'll have Daniel down real good. Daniel chapter 6, titled Daniel Prayed. We find in chapter 6 and verse 10, reads like this. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open and his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and give thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. We know what has taken place. Darius is a new ruler, and he has set Daniel over second in line. And the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians are jealous, and they are upset, and they're going to try any way they can to impeach the president, the chief of the presidents here, Daniel. And they can't find any fault with him. And they go to Darius, they con Darius into signing a decree, knowing that Daniel will do what he always has done, as he done aforetime. Darius just didn't catch the fact that they were trying to do something against Daniel. He didn't think about Daniel. Actually, I think he was just so caught up in the pride that they wanted him to be God for a month that he forgot about Daniel. And we know that in the next chapters, we'll know that because of what he did. But Daniel, we see, is a man of prayer. In chapter 2, we find that very plainly. In the very beginning of the book, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart. And Daniel is a man of prayer. And I know, and I've said, and I appreciate you people, and I've bragged about you people and your prayers. You are a people of prayer. I believe that every person in here is a people of prayer. Now, I don't know how you carry out your prayers, and that's your business. But hopefully that I want to share some thoughts here about Daniel and his prayers. that will help you, and maybe in your prayer life a little bit. Well, there's a word I want to use. I can't think of it right now. That will enhance your prayers a little bit. That will give to you. Because prayer is what? Prayer is about you and about God. Really, that's what it boils down to. Prayer is simply about you and about your God. Just as it was Daniel. And it says oftentimes when he's spoken of, it's Daniel and his God, or Daniel and my God. And so it's a personal thing. And so we want to share with you some thoughts this morning about Daniel praying. Don't you suppose that Daniel was so consistent as he grew up? I believe that Daniel in his early years, in his teenage years, young teenage years, probably Daniel did exactly what he's doing here. Went to prayer three times a day. That was a Jewish saying, and Daniel's a Jewish boy. And so I believe that Daniel did practice this all of his life that he began. And he stayed true to God. And he shows us a person of God, of what God looks like. And we can look at Daniel, and we can look at our lives, and we can see a little bit what our life ought to look like, especially in our prayer life. Daniel's prayer teaches us. I know that Daniel was into the Word. I know that Daniel read all the scriptures that was accessible in that day. I know that Daniel read the book of Jeremiah because he talks about the book of Jeremiah. He's going through exactly what Jeremiah said was going to happen. And so he's well aware with the scripture. We know that he was taught the five books at Jerusalem in his early age. He knows the scripture. And so I'm convinced that this helps him and strengthens him. So the first thing I'd like for us to consider is the fact of his convictions. Now, I'm not questioning you. I just want you to question yourself. How's your convictions about prayer? See, Daniel had convictions. Now, I know probably some of you, when you think about conviction, you think about a criminal been caught up and been convicted of something wrongdoing. But that's not so, because convictions also means, you know, a strong, persuasive belief. It is a fixed and firm belief. How persuasive are you in your conviction? How deep is your belief in prayer? That's a question for you, for yourself. Daniel prayed because of his conviction. Daniel was convicted from his youth, as I mentioned before. He was convinced. And so the verse says, now Daniel knew the writing of it was signed. He went into his house, and his windows were open to the chamber of Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime, as he had done always, as he had done from his youth up. Daniel's enemy could find nothing wrong with Daniel to convict Daniel of. No wrongdoings whatsoever. As we mentioned last week in the message, they sorted through all of his political, all of his governmental affairs, could find nothing wrong. He was a just man, an honest man, and he was true to the king, and he was true to God. So they've got to find some fault with Daniel other than through the governmental situation, and they pick on him because of his prayer. Could I ask you this morning, you know, that knowing that Daniel was really a person of prayer, and his enemy knew that. Let me ask you, who knows that you are a person of prayer? Does your enemy know that you're a person of prayer? Does your family know that you're a person of prayer? Does your friends know that you're a person of prayer? I hope so. I tell many times, I've told different people who've asked me for prayers, I've talked about our church family and their prayers. I say our people is a people of prayer. And we get good results out of prayers. And you people have, and we have, and we all know, and we've all experienced some answers to the prayers of these people here, you know. But sometimes it's good to check out, isn't it? Hey, who knows you're? There's some people in this community know that we're people of prayer up here at Porter. Omer, a time or two, has brought me names from somebody in this community here that doesn't come up here to church. And they wanted to be on our prayer list. There's some people on our prayer list right now that really are not associated with the church. And they've asked some of you to put them on their prayer list because they believe you're people of prayer. So somebody does know. But it's good to ask us sometimes, who knows that I'm a person of prayer? And often people call me and so forth, and I share with you from time to time the people that has asked me to pray. And I always will include a group of our people here and then include our church as people that will be praying for those people. So, yeah, his enemy knew. And if there's anybody ought to know that you're a people of prayer, your enemy ought to know. And if your enemy knows that you can pray against them, well, that gives you a real leadway against them, I would think. If Satan investigated your prayer life, would he be able to find anything to find enough convict you to say that you're a person of prayer? I hope he would. I believe he could. Daniel had purpose in his heart. He was convicted. He had convictions. Nothing is going to keep me from this. And you know, I wonder sometimes if we sometimes fail maybe to pray because who might be looking. Do we at the restaurant fail to thank the Lord for a blessed good meal? Especially when we fellowship together with all the good people that goes out sometimes. Well, I think we had 15, 16 sometimes people, and they can't hardly find a table big enough for us, and it's just a good time. And sometimes I think people look around and they see who's around, and Daniel didn't do that. He had convictions, and it didn't make any difference who was around. If his enemy was around, his family was around, his friends was around, wherever he might be, he was going to pray. And he prayed 3 times a day. Scripture says, Daniel could have compromised. Picture, you know, I see Daniel. Daniel knows the writing's been taking place. He could have went home and he could have shut the window, pulled the drapes. Why not do what Jesus said? Go in your closet and shut the door. But Daniel knew that all eyes was on him. And they knew that Daniel would do what he had done aforetime. And they knew that. And he went and did, and he always did. He knew all eyes was on him, and he continued to do what he had done. He knelt before his window, and he prayed 3 times a day. Now, there's been many great saints, and you could probably name several. Many great saints who have held to their convictions, and they have given their life. There is a fellow by the name of Polycarp, and he was actually a disciple of John, the Revelator. He lived then, and he had been a disciple of John. He also had been among some people who had seen Jesus personally. And Polycarp was caught up because of his faith. And they were going to burn him at the stake. And his friends told him, Polycarp said, renounce it, you know. Renounce it, and they won't burn you. And here's what he said. He's 86 years old. And Polycarp said, I have served Christ, and he has never done me wrong. How then can I now blaspheme my King and Savior? We need more people like Polycarp and Daniel who will, even if it means death, do what they have done aforetime. Daniel was convinced that God would do what he said he would do. I probably am right in thinking this, And there might be some of you, and I'm not trying to be critical of you, but if you are, there may be some doubts in your mind when you pray for something that maybe God won't do that. Daniel wasn't that way. Daniel was convinced that God would do what he said he would do. And he was convinced and he was faithful. He knew that God was faithful to his promise. He always keeps his word. God always accomplishes what he sets out to do. Daniel knew this, and Daniel was convicted of this. God, absolutely sovereign, always accomplishes his purpose. He can never be defeated. Now, if you will go into your prayers like that, knowing that God has promised and he keeps every promise, and he will bring everything he said to fruition, it'll strengthen your prayer. Convictions. Are you convicted that God will do what he says he will do? Daniel not only was convicted, but he was consistent. That passage says three times a day. He was consistent. I see Daniel, regardless of what he was doing, he had the highest position in the Babylonian kingdom and now in the Persian kingdom. But he had time. Did he have time or did he take time? How would you say that? He took time to do what he did aforetime. And he went into his house and he knelt before the window three times a day and prayed. It was a Jewish custom, as I say, and he was a Jewish boy. That old saying, you know, you can take a boy out of the country, you can't take the country out of the boy. And boy, I mean, he had prayer in, you can't take prayer out of Daniel. That's for sure. The text says that he, as he did aforetime. Now, Daniel, as I've said before several times, he's about 90 years old. He's been away from Jerusalem for 70 years. So he's about 90 years old. If you take him back very young in his life and calculate those prayers three times a day, he's probably prayed about, he's prayed probably 90,000 prayers. I thought about our congregation here I thought about us, and I thought that not usually a 40 figure, I mean, we usually are over that. But I thought that, you know, if we prayed three times a day, we'd send up 1,000 prayers to God a week, you know. That's a lot of prayers, isn't it? You know, when you think about it. But Daniel, think about him. He's prayed probably 900,000 prayers in his life. He was consistent. He did it day in, day out, morning, noon, and night. I don't know about you and when your prayer times and so forth, and that's your business. Daniel began his day by praying. And you know, I'm not boastful here, not telling you my things, but I have to, very early in the morning, you know, I have to pray. Number one, I got to thank God for giving me health to get up, to get out of bed. And then I got to pray for God, give me the strength to do what I got to do today. Give me help. I believe that's what Daniel did. Daniel prayed, giving thanks to God. And that's what it says, give thanks to his God. He thanked him for the position he was in, for the ability that he had to do, and for the strength to do what he had to do. I believe that's... And you know, that's good morning praying, isn't it, you know? And I believe that we all ought to probably use that. I'm so thankful to see another day alive. I mean, when I look out this morning and see the beauty out there, and I just thank you, God. Thank you for letting me to see another day like this. I know the possibility of not seeing another day. And it's so great. And I said, God, I've got things to do today, and I can't really do them, and I need your help in doing them. So I need your help, and I need your strength. I believe that Daniel prayed that way. And so I see Daniel, and there's another person in the Bible that I find that's pretty close, to, has the same things, or same thoughts, same convictions as Daniel. And you know who that might be? That's David. David. David and Daniel, they're two wonderful people to look at, you know. They were consistent in their praying. Listen to what Psalmist says. Psalms 5 and 3, this is what David said. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. He's like Daniel, isn't he? Thy voice shall you hear. The first thing David's going to do when he gets awakened, he's going to talk to God. God, first thing I do the morning, you're going to hear my voice, he says. Psalms 5 and 3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And that psalmist, 122, you know, I look into the hills which come my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heavens and earth. You know, that's the, Daniel did that. Daniel did that. You know, it would do as well to follow Daniel's and David's examples. And not wait till we get in a fix to pray. Most people that are not like you people will only pray when they get in a fix. When they hear the growl of the lion. But you know, we need to be up and we need to pray before the lions gets up, before the lions wake up. There is a story that goes about Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, he said, I would spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. You get that? If I had 6 hours to chop down that tree, I would spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. And then he returned in the middle of the day. You know, I don't know where all he was, but he must have been around Jerusalem. Kingdom there. He had access to his house because if I'm reading the scriptures right, he went home at noon and he knelt and prayed. And so he did it at noontime. And here's what David said in Psalm 55:17. Morning and noon. Morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel was really convicted also, wasn't he? He had that belief that God would hear his voice. David and Daniel, and no doubt many other in the middle of the day, they focused on no doubt that Daniel, noontime prayers, he found the strength he needed carry out God's will. Back years ago, there was a program came out of Cincinnati, or one of the radio stations out of Cincinnati, and it was called Bible Talk. And it came on at 12:30 to 1 o'clock. And at that time, I used to take my lunch, and I had a pickup truck, had air conditioning on it. That's been many years ago. And so I found this program at some time or another, and so I made my noontime lunch then. I would stop a little bit before 12:30, so I would be able to be in my truck, and I would have my prayer and start eating my lunch. and I'd listen to Bible talk. That was my noontime spent with God. But Daniel went home, and at lunchtime, he talked to God. David says, you're going to hear my voice in the morning, and at noontime, I'm going to come to you too. These men were looking for strength and help from God, convinced that they would receive it. Some people, Jesus said, and I believe James says, maybe one of the little Johns, you don't have because you asked amiss, or you don't have because you don't ask. And Jesus said, if you ask, if you seek, you'll receive. And so these men were constantly seeking. And I have been guilty before. I don't eat lunch in many years now. I never take lunch. And I started that, and I wish I never had because now. But I have my through the day. And I think there's a difference now in your daily prayers. And maybe some of you people do pray three times a day. I hope you do. But I have what the scripture says to pray always. That's in my system. And so I pray daily. I mean, I pray all through the day. I talk to God all the time through the day. And not boasting, but I mean, I do. I mean, I really do. I say, God, I need help with this, and He helps me. And I say, God, I thank You for helping me with this. Last week I had to move my equipment into a job, and I knew where I was going. I'd been there, and I saw it, and I said, Lord, I just can't picture getting in there without a bunch of trouble because of the gates and stuff that was in, and the road was narrow. And somehow or another, the Lord put me at ease, said, you'll make it. And you know, I drove right in there, took two pieces of equipment in there, just... I could have fretted all the way there and said, I don't know how I'm going to get in there. I probably have to unload in the road. And, you know, and that's probably what you do. Convicted, confident in this one who answers prayer. This one that listens and helps. Daniel is my example. David backs him up. Backs him up. Tremendous, isn't it? How you can see the hand of God working in your life. It just overjoys me to be able to see God's hand working, not only in my life, but in your life, and things happening, and things that go wrong, and we mess up, but God helps us. It's so wonderful. And then, what else he do? Morning, noon, and all at night. Well, I mean, aren't you tired and weary at night? And what should you pray about at night, Daniel? I don't know. Daniel did so good. They could find no fault with him. That would he have to pray maybe for forgiveness? Maybe. What about you? Can you go through the day and then come home at night and settle down and so forth and say, well, I did this or I didn't do that and I better talk to the Lord about it before I go to bed? I don't know. Maybe Daniel did that. I have to do that. I don't know about you, but I have to do that. And maybe Daniel's saying, boy, I've got all this governmental stuff. And I'm a top dog in here, and I got to see that all the other presidents see that them presidents sees that the governor's all does everything right for the king. He said, "Man, I'm exhausted, and God, I just need rest." And maybe Daniel's just praying for some rest. I imagine Daniel got tired. Jesus got tired, and maybe he's just praying, you know, God, just cool me down. Relax me from all this I've done, and help me get a good night's rest. Maybe he was praying for that, good night's sleep. Don't you imagine that a big part of his prayers involved, thank you, God, for your faithfulness? That's a big part in it, you know. I have to say, God, you're so good. You just don't fail. You're just so faithful, you know. I mean, this morning when I look out the door window, there's a come in the kitchen and look, put the shade back. I said, there you are, oh faithful God. It's just everything's just like you made it. You never fail. I mean, I see out that window every morning. There's God already been there, already done. The sun comes up. The flowers are blooming. All kinds of things are happening. Tomatoes on the vine. I mean, God puts all that stuff in the works. And I say, God, you do that year after year after year after year after year, day after day after day, week after week. You're so faithful. I think that was one of the biggest things that he did. God, you brought me out of the holy city, put me in this pagan country, but you provided so faithfully for me. You had done so. Well, Daniel prayed because he had confidence. Daniel prayed to God because his confidence. Daniel believed that God heard and answered prayer. I hear people say, we'll pray and maybe God will do this or that. Maybe God will hear us if we pray. Any of you been guilty of that? We'll pray and maybe God will listen to our prayer. We need to be convicted. We need to certainly have confidence because God says he hears our prayer. Daniel says he went to his window, being open to the chamber of judgment. He knelt there three times a day and gave thanks to God as he did before time. Daniel prayed before the open window. But more important, Daniel prayed before an open window that faced Jerusalem. Now, bear with me here just a couple minutes. I want you to get this. Why did Daniel pray out this window toward Jerusalem? And you could give me a dozen things, I know. But I want to share a thought or two with you. He prayed out this open window. He knelt down on his knees and prayed toward Jerusalem. Why is that so important? I think to understand that, we have to go back to 2 Chronicles. And this will help us to understand Daniel. And chapter 6 and verse 36. Now listen to, this is Solomon. This is when Solomon built the temple and finished it. And it's Solomon's prayer. This is part of it. And I'm starting with chapter 6, verse 36. And it says, and Solomon is talking to God about the people. He says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. We're all sinners. And thou be angry with them and deliver them out before their enemies. And they carry them away captives into a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land wherever they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, say, we have sinned. We have done amiss. And we have done wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all and all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captivities and pray toward their land. Now catch some of this as we go home. And pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. You catching that? Then hear thou from the heavens, even from their dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. Forgive the people which have sinned against thee. Does that tell you why Daniel prays toward Jerusalem? Right there in it. Isn't that wonderful to find that? He said, Solomon knew. Solomon knew that eventually they're going to mess up. That's what he's saying there, isn't it? And he knew that they were going to be taken into captivity. But he says, Lord, if they've sinned against you and they go into captivity, if they turn to you, hear them and forgive them. Isn't that what he's saying there? I believe it is. Solomon knew that the Israelites was going to mess up. And you know the Lord knows you and I are going to mess up sometimes. And that we need to practice just that, don't we? Turn back to the Lord. So Solomon knew eventually the Israelites were going to mess up, and he knew that they were going to sin against God, and God would have to chasten them and take them into captivity. Yet both Solomon and Daniel believed something about God that makes prayer very powerful. Here's the reason why prayer is so powerful. The power of prayer is that Almighty God desires to be gracious to his people. You know? See, God's not against you. There's people out there that thinks God's against them. No, God's not against anybody. God is for them. God is for you. God, his graciousness is showed towards you. And that makes prayer powerful. Almighty God desires the gracious and those that need his help. And I need his help. And you need his help. And he's gracious in giving us the help that we did. And what is it? I like Ed Balsman used to have that, the God is just a prayer away. But, you know, certainly our help is just a prayer away. And certainly God will help us. And Solomon prayed, if they mess up and if they turn back, please forgive them of their sins and bring them back home. Now, for 70 years, listen, I believe that Daniel knew that before he left Jerusalem. He knew what Solomon had prayed. I believe for 70 years, that was part of Daniel's prayer. Daniel knew that his ancestors had messed up. Daniel knew he was in Babylon because of his ancestors had messed up. But Daniel also knew the power of prayer, and the prayer went out. And he knew that someday they would be going back. Well, Daniel never did go back. And Daniel, as far as I know, died in the foreign country. But he looked to Jerusalem, and he knew that God's people would go back. He's 90 years old, and he probably died shortly after what we're reading now. And so here we find. Now, if we look in chapter 7, see, Solomon prayed that prayer to God. And here's what happened. Look in chapter 7, and where do I want to start at here? Verse 12. You got this now. Solomon has prayed this prayer, and here God answers. Chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. You don't think God hears prayer? God works in prayer? By night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now he goes on and says, if I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and here's that favorite verse of most people, verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Here's the promise of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. How many years before Daniel was that prayer offered? And God promised. And Daniel, that's why Daniel was so convicted. That's why Daniel was so consistent. And that's why Daniel had such great confidence, you see. Because he knew God had already told Solomon what he would do. And he knew that God would do what he said he would do. Today, you know, it doesn't make any difference who you are, what you've done. If they will cry out to God, God will hear, God will forgive. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so folks, I just want to encourage you. You may be the best prayer partner we've got here. And I'm so thankful for the prayer partners we have. You might be the best one here. But if you're not, or even if you are, just be convicted of the goodness and the graciousness of God. And be consistent in your talking to Him, in your prayer life. And be confident of what you talk to Him about will come about. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the first verse only of our invitation hymn. And God is consistent in saving His people who will cry out to Him, or helping His people in their needs. If you have needs, if you need to answer an invitation for any reason, come today as we sing the first verse, Only Trust Him. Folks, for your kind attention to the Word, and thank you for being here in the Lord's house and being an encouragement one to another. And we thank you for your prayers. And I'm not saying you're not a people of prayer, because I boast about our people and their prayers. I'm just trying to give you a little more thoughts about prayer and to remind you of the power that comes from Almighty God through your prayers. So you keep talking to God, will you? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how great it is to have a God like you. Hears our prayers, cares about us, helps us in all our daily needs, dear God. We just pray, Heavenly Father, now that you will bless each and every one present here today. Go with them, that the Holy Spirit direct their lives to this coming week. Lead them into good things. Make all things work together good for them, because they love you, and more than that, you love them. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.